There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN-TV program. We are broadcasting live, and it's Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. We're in the future, guys. I forgot to push my timer button, so if we go over, it's my fault. Anyway, I'm glad to be back with you here in the new year. Hope you're all doing well. Just a couple of announcements before we get started today. If you're watching live on Rumble, please like, share, and subscribe to our channel. Likewise, please take a minute now and share today's show on your social media and your email list, wherever you're watching. And if you're tuned into WCNTV.net, please join us live today by clicking the Join the Studio Audience button. And then you can comment, ask questions, and be with us as part of today's show. I also need to mention that we're planning this year's ministry conference. Spencer can maybe put that up on the screen for you. It'll be a little different from previous years in that we won't be focusing so much on news and information, but rather our theme, if you want to call it that, is going to be revival and reverence, returning to God, because that is what we really need in this country and in our individual lives. We have a lot of great new speakers lined up for you this year, including the courageous Canadian pastor Art Pawlowski, Dr. Ted Brower, Pastor Matt Truella, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw, Coach Dave, and Dr. Mike. You've seen them all here on WCN-TV, and this is your chance to meet them all in person. This is one event that you certainly are not going to want to miss. I'm encouraged about it because we've already had more people register for this event than we've had the past 2 years combined by this time. We still have a long way to go, so there's plenty of seats, but I'm just saying. There are also some great discounts for families with our early bird special. Families of up to 10 can come for just $250 total when you register before March 4th. Regular tickets are still just $69 each. Conference is April 4th and 5th in Wausau, Wisconsin, right in the center of the state. And lastly, there are some great discounts on lodging at our hotel venue. But those rooms are limited, so I would advise you to book early. You can get all your information, tickets, and registration at coachdavelive.com/events. All right, so moving on, we have Doug Hagman of the Hagman Report with us today. It's always a great program when Doug is with us, and so welcome back, my friend.
Rob, you're too kind. Thanks for having me. I'll tell you what a great lineup of speakers. I can't wait. I mean, Coach Dave alone. Pastor Art, my goodness.
I forgot to mention Dawn Wolf is going to be making her debut speaking appearance with us. So,
man, I'll tell you what, folks, I just can't speak highly enough, especially about this lineup. And I'm still looking forward to being able to watch this and folks, spread the word about this. Fantastic. Thank you for all you do, Rob. So I guess we have a lot to get into, huh?
Well, we do. You know, I've got a ton of, I sent Spencer a ton of memes. Did you get those, Spencer? All right. So he's got them. I don't know if we're going to get to them because I don't know, we're just 6 days away from Inauguration Day. And I have to say, that's one job that I certainly wouldn't want. I can't think of any incoming president in history that has ever faced what Trump is facing going into this. So do you want to start by talking about a few news items today?
Well, you know, Rob, many publications have echoed various threat assessments from different intelligence agencies, domestic intelligence agencies, some overlapping international, like the Five Eyes. And always between inauguration, or between the election and Inauguration Day, that 76-day period is always one of trepidation. And we're seeing now more open, overt threats. Now here's the problem that I've got. Having spent 20 years investigating threats from Al-Qaeda, foreign threats and such, and we were able to really monitor the password-protected Arabic language forums, and we were able to insert ourselves in there through a lot of pretext. I mean, it took a lot of work. So we would monitor the various, as they called it back then, chatter. And the rule of thumb is the higher the chatter, and this seems counterintuitive, but the higher the chatter, the less the threat against whatever might be taking place, whether it be a certain holiday or flights or whatever. So anyway, to apply it to today, you know, 5 years ago, we saw that Pink Hat Revolution march, whatever, the woman's march after the inauguration. We saw a lot of rioting after that. And at that time, we were able to not predict, but monitor what's taking place in the background. And that's why our investigative agencies and agents within the agency being able to access various Antifa, BLM, Marxist boards. And what we found is this, the chatter has dropped off precipitously. And what was, for example, if we scored 100 on the date of the election, we're right now about a 15 to 20, meaning that the chatter again has dropped off. And usually that back when we were doing the threat assessment as operational and informational assets for the federal government, that usually indicated a very problematic situation where they were, the talking phase was over, the planning phase was over, and something was in the works. We're seeing similar things to that today. Now, prior to them dropping, when I say them, I'm talking about people inside this country communicating with one another, again, on password-protected forums that we cultivated over a number of months to really get in and convince the moderators, for example, that we were anti-capitalists and, you know, pro-Antifa, have taken on different personas. And anyway, the takeaway from this, a couple of things. Prior to them really stopping their conversations or having that naturally die down, is they were talking about drones, potential drone strikes, not with any degree of specificity where we can warn anyone, but the feeling that we got, and I say we, I'm talking for three or four other investigators, including myself, is the fact that there's something out there that just doesn't feel right. And, you know, I've got a rule, you trust your gut. And my gut is saying, look, there could be something in the works. I'm not dogmatic about that, but just based on our experience, it just seems like there could be some attempt at maybe disrupting at the very least, or at worst, perhaps some sort of a low-tech type of an attack, or if you consider drones high-tech, a high-tech attack. And then beyond that, you've got this massive, and I mean absolutely massive, groups, but one group, who really want to see America burn. I mean, right now, the one thing I can tell you is that they are celebrating the fires on the West Coast. They're celebrating anything that could take down America. This is what they're doing. They're celebrating this. And we're kind of stuck with the situation where you've got an unresponsive Department of Justice, an unresponsive FBI compared to 20 plus years ago. Look, it wasn't perfect at all. In fact, it was less than. However, today you have a DOJ that's antagonistic toward the incoming administration, where they want to see the incoming administration boggled down and even not succeed, as well as not even take office. There are a lot of people, and I'll sum it up by saying this, there are a lot of people involved in these various anarchist groups who do not want the current power structure disrupted. You've got a lot of money with the military-industrial complex. You've got a lot of money with the, this is all connected with Big Pharma. You've got a lot of money with the Communist Chinese Party, which I believe some of the drones that we're seeing, not all, but some are Chinese Communist Party drones. You've got, and that's a mix right there. And that also speaks to the wildfires in California. You've got, I believe, as of the last count, and I'm not sure if this is public information, but you had upwards of, I think, 85 to 90 arrests for arson since the fires began a week and a day ago. So all of this is combined. And then, of course, that leads into discussion about the competence. And really, it's beyond incompetence. It's the Marxist philosophy, the absolute Marxist philosophy. For example, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, who has ties to, and a lot of people don't recall this, I think it was November 7th of 1983, when a group that she was associated with detonated a bomb in the northern section of the Capitol. And it didn't cause any deaths, but a lot of property damage. And she was part of the Marxist group that was behind that bombing. So, and also the group that she's involved with, celebrating the life and mourning the death of Castro and other Marxist figures. So, you know, all of this, and in addition to all of this too, we're seeing reports of fog, unnatural kind of fog. We're getting information about people getting sick from exposure to this weird kind of fog. I'm not talking about what, you know, I mean, people know what fog is, normal fog. This is something totally different and may or may not have a direct relationship with the drone. So all of this combined is something that we're looking at from a potentially threatening viewpoint as we approach, you know, 158 hours from now, roughly, the inauguration and afterwards. It's not going to stop on that day. The threat's going to be there long afterwards. So that's kind of my assessment coming out of the gate here.
Well, and I've got points to make on pretty much all those points, but, you know, we're only 2 weeks into this year, and already we've been probably a year like no other. So, but we need to remember, first of all, before we get into those other topics you mentioned, need to remember the people in Appalachia, although the mainstream media has already forgotten them. Just a few days ago, about 2,000 North Carolina residents were kicked out of their hotel rooms because FEMA said their time was up. This was in the midst of a major snowstorm with temperatures below 20 degrees. At the same time, FEMA closed their disaster recovery centers in the area because of winter weather. So what are these families supposed to do? That's just one thing. Then we hit New Year's Eve. God sent us a message hitting four iconic buildings with lightning. Washington Monument, U.S. Capitol were hit in D.C. Empire State Building and the One World Trade Center were hit in New York. And then New Year's Day, a Muslim man rented a truck in Texas and drove to New Orleans, plowed into a crowd of people, killing 15 and injuring 30 more. And although he had an ISIS flag in the truck, mainstream media has refused to call this an act of terror. Meanwhile, another guy rented a Cybertruck in Colorado, drove to Trump Tower in Las Vegas, and then he shot himself in the head and detonated explosives. Authorities have said these things are not connected, but it's interesting that both these guys rented their trucks from the same rental company. What do you think on that, Doug? That seems a little coincident.
Yeah. I don't know if I messed anything up. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, you know, the that whole situation from Los Angeles to the Cybertruck, the app that you're talking about, the rental company, is an app. It's Turo, T-U-R-O, and it's owned by, reportedly owned by Andre Haddad, originally from Beirut. And of course, when you consider that, and the fact that the presence of an ISIS flag in New Orleans on the truck that was rented, both electric vehicles, I mean, there's some interesting connections here. My question, however, is knowing we're not going to get the truth from anyone in power anytime soon, what was the message that was attempted to be conveyed with the Cybertruck bombing, if any? Or was this some person just totally off the rails? All indications suggest that this is something a little bit more nefarious, and whether or not that individual being blamed for that explosion, someone very capable of creating an Oklahoma City kind of explosion, ended up, you know, shooting off some Roman candles while supposedly killing himself with a Desert Eagle 50 caliber weapon, which I don't recommend for Sue. I'm telling you what, aside from the mess it makes, the noise and the flash, it does draw attention. We saw none of that on the videos. So what we're being told is contrary, I believe, to what we've seen in the videos. But to answer your point, are we looking at something that combined is a, and I hate to use this phrase, false flag, I mean, because it really did happen, but it certainly didn't happen the way they said it, you know, it happened. So
nothing does.
So yeah, it's really,
well, we'll have to figure this all out, and then they call us conspiracy theorists, but we're just trying to get to the truth.
And that's all we want, you know, is that too much to ask? And when you take those, I mean, I was laughing because the way you kind of frame that, you know, people saying, well, thank goodness 2024 is over. Okay, you ready for 2025? In the first 2 days, you know, the first day we had two terrorist attacks, if you will. You know, we're still dealing with, as you mentioned, North Carolina, FEMA. What a joke that is. We're dealing now with the wildfires, and we're only, what, 14 days into the year. So I think 2025 is going to be a transformative year, one of those hinge moments in time. And then, of course, today you saw the opening Senate confirmation hearings on, in this case, Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. So, and you saw the animus by the left against Pete Hegseth. But I hope people who watched any part of that can see how the deep state blob, if you will, is going to be treating President Trump and his objectives. They came out, the left came out, and they were very well coordinated. and they went after Hegseth in a manner that taking their advising consent role, taking it and making it a just a war against the agenda of President Trump and his cabinet. He has a right to pick his cabinet, but in this case, they really went after him. And the reason I brought that in is because I think all of this is kind of a larger illustration of how 2025 is going to play out. And I think we should be ready for anything, knowing that God is in control, obviously, and I have a very big belief in that. But I just, you know, it's, again, what you mentioned, it's shameful what happened, what is happening right now with the people in Appalachia. It's shameful that we're still, we still have people suffering in Maui from the Lahaina fires. It's shameful how the situation in Los Angeles is playing out. You know, I played on my show last night very quickly, a training film that was done in 1962 about the November 1961 fires in Bel Air. And it's interesting because at that time, that was one of the biggest fires ever. 484 acres burned when it was all said and done. In this situation, you've got how many tens of thousands of acres, how many, I think 12.5 or 12,500 structures destroyed by fire, and 24 and counting deaths. Back then, you didn't have any deaths, but a lot of the same situations. So 62 or 64 years ago, we have not learned anything in terms of mitigating potential disasters. In fact, they've made it worse. But having said that, the people who want to see us die, essentially die, are exploiting the lack of mitigating factors that we haven't employed. So, you know, all of this is really out there for everything to everyone to see. And let's not forget about, again, I mentioned the drones. None of these stories are over, have reached a conclusion. The lingering effects of the slab jab, the COVID shots, the exposure that is coming out from all of this. And we have to keep, we as Christians, I believe, have to keep the pressure on the people, because I believe we do get the government we work for, earn, and deserve, and we have to hold their feet to the fire, especially even with President Trump. If he's not going to do what he says he's going to do, then we have to hold his feet to the fire. But I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, that we're going to see some good things happen here in 2025, but an equal pushback by the deep state denizens.
Oh, probably more than equal. Yeah,
true.
Let me mention one more thing that happened in the early hours of New Year's Day. Four men in hoods and masks opened fire on a group of 16 to 20-year-olds in Queens, New York. 30 shots were fired. 10 people were hospitalized, and the shooters remain at large. So there again, but that's probably something you didn't hear on the news. I didn't know about it until I started researching New Year's Day events and all of that. So let's get into the drones. Started seeing them last year, late last year, I guess. They started being at least reported. I know they've been around forever, but they seem to have technology that we don't know about. Some have said they've seen some the size of buses or train cars, and they move incredibly fast and in crazy movements and formations. Airports have had to close because of these. Many of them seem to be surveilling our military bases, and they've been seen and photographed by airline and military pilots and the general public. Government says they have no idea what these things are, but there's no need to worry about it. Meanwhile, the media and some experts and whistleblowers have started leaking the idea that these are actually non-human alien UFOs, extraterrestrial in nature. Now, I know we're getting out there a little bit, but this is really happening. The former manager of UK's Ministry of Defense has just warned that releasing the truth of what government leaders around the world know about this phenomenon could cause widespread panic because, quote, he says, it may contain a truth too terrible to be told. That truth, he said, may be that the sightings are indeed alien craft or perhaps demons.
Wow.
So,
yeah, Rob, I think it's a combination. Okay, I really do. As you pointed out, these have been around for quite some time. Sightings of orbs, just a tremendous number of reports. The most latest, this latest version of drones on the East Coast was, it in theory, it began on November 18th, or perhaps in earnest, people began reporting about their sightings in this, or I'm sorry, November 18th. I'm not sure what I said. November 18th of 2024 is when it really started to ramp up, at least the reporting thereof. And you've got a multitude of different drones. You've got what appear to be orbs, and then you've got smaller drones, and then drones, as you characterized, some with anti-collision lights, obviously compliant with FAA, and you've got others that don't have those. So I think what we're looking at, I don't think we can say it's any one specific thing. It doesn't have to be either or. It can be and also. I kind of
have the feeling it's a lot of it is our government agencies covering for other entities of whatever nature they may be. I know that our government has much more technology than we know about. And we're not supposed to know about it. I can tell you that. My wife and I once tried to get to Area 51. We got within 20 miles. We passed a lot of the camo dudes in the desert, and they let us pass. But once we got to that 20-mile mark, they weren't fooling around anymore. And that's just my experience. But yeah, they there's more going on than we're going to hear about. Trump says he's going to tell us what it all is on day one. We'll see.
Well, do you find that interesting? Here we are given his position where he is getting a presidential daily briefing, and he certainly I'm sure could probably say something without any kind of. I mean, unless he's being restricted from doing so, which I feel is the case. But the way I look at it is, I do believe there's going to be some sort of a deceptive announcement, and that's being, hey, look, you know, these are from outer space. And I kind of believe that. And again, this is kind of in the woo-woo area. But I do believe what we're seeing, aside, I think we're seeing Chinese manufactured drones. I think we're seeing our own in addition to the Chinese, I mean, physical hardware. But then I think, as you mentioned, I think we are seeing some, and folks, you can tear away at me, whatever, but I think that we're seeing some hyper dimensional fallen angel technology. And I think that's probably one of the most threatening to our I think that really is something that we need to be concerned about, because they are not of God. They're neither.
They've been working since I think 2010 at CERN to open portals to other dimensions. So have they achieved their goals? I don't know, but they certainly have. Certainly have seen an exponential increase in demonic activity, I would say, since about that time.
So, yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if you remember, but the media has kind of been softening us up a little bit, little by little, on this alien extraterrestrial thing. I don't know if you remember last spring and summer, the reports, I think mainly in California, but maybe I'm mistaken on that, but there were multiple reports of alien creatures in people's yards. People were reporting like 10-foot tall beings in their backyards, just standing there. I don't know if you remember that, but
I do.
I know we're getting a little bit out there today. I should get my tinfoil hat, but this actually took happened. I mean, this actually happened. So the news cycle cycles out the news as fast as it cycles it in, but these were actual news stories. So,
but would it surprise anyone, you know, if there was an admission of alien contact, for example? I don't think it would surprise anyone. And I think this preparation, in my view anyway, of like alien contact is really a deceptive characterization, because I do believe whether, for example, the incoming administration is being told the truth, but by the military or by whoever, I believe that we are seeing the beginnings of just a grand deception. And I think we have to use our prayerful discernment once we start getting information about what's going on.
Yeah, and I don't think we should just blanketly assume that because they tell us they're aliens from other planets, that's what they are. We're talking about demons and satanic activity here, in my opinion. So,
100%.
All right, so California still on fire. Here's what we know. California has left dead and dying forests to just sit there, uncleared, providing fuel for a recipe for disaster. Mayor of LA cut the fire department budget by $18 million last year. State Farm canceled, I think, 72,000 homeowners policies just 4 months before the fire started. An illegal alien was caught in the West Hills area with a blowtorch. He was detained by residents and then arrested by police, but he was released the next day. No charges of arson. And Gavin Newsom has refused to properly manage the water situation there. Instead of collecting water from the Sacramento River or the Northern California watershed and funneling it into reservoirs, he diverted it into the ocean. He also blew up, I don't know if you know this, but he blew up 4 dams on the Klamath River. They provided 80,000 homes with clean hydroelectric power, offered recreation, flood control, and irrigation, and he blew them up. The whole state of California is steeped in wokeness, as we all know, but especially Los Angeles. As you mentioned, Doug, the mayor is an avowed Marxist who has praised Cuban dictator Fidel Castro on multiple times. And the top of the list of qualifications for the fire chief there is the fact that she's the first LGBTQ fire chief. She stated that her primary goal is to promote DEI, didn't earn it, in the department. The assistant fire chief is also a lesbian, as is Christine Larson, who is the equity bureau chief. So what could possibly go wrong?
You can't make this up.
It's obviously deliberate sabotage of a state, if not a country.
Exactly. And they've cut the number of personnel statewide, firefighters statewide. The budgets have been cut by, in one case, $100 million, and then an additional $17.5 million just recently for the city of Los Angeles. You have 117,000 or 117 million gallon reservoir that's been empty since February of last year that would have serviced the Palisades area. And you know, the documentary from 1962 does lay out some of the problems with water in that area. However, you know, 64 years to fix it and to really, it's mind-blowing when they put too much into this so-called equity, and it's not equity, it's not equality, it's just incredibly stupid policy where meritocracy is not part of the the policy. So, you know, again, as you say, what could possibly go wrong? So I do think that there should be especially for the people who have lost everything, including family members, pets, and other. I think criminal negligent homicide charges could very well be in order and should be in order in Los Angeles and in any case where this is taking place, but especially in Los Angeles.
Well, like I said, I was not aware of this, but Newsom blew up four dams on the Klamath River. He just blew them up. So he had the water, but he blew them up.
The water diversion.
In order to save the earth.
Exactly. And I don't know whether you know this, but Oregon sent 60 pumpers. Fire truck pumpers and I think a couple of tankers into California to assist in the firefighting efforts. But goodness gracious, they were stopped in Sacramento. Why? Well, they had to get smog certificates.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so, I mean, just when you think of, when you think it can't get any worse, it does. I'm how in the world... they stop. Hey, you have to go to Sacramento first. We have to inspect your truck. It passes the smog requirements. You know, meanwhile, how many particulates, tons of particulates are being released into the atmosphere from the fires? It's just ridiculous.
Anyone in our studio audience have any questions or comments? Now is your chance. Raise your hand. We'll bring it right in. If not, we're going to, Harry. I know we covered a lot of information.
Is there any real possibility of anyone being held accountable for what's going on? Well, just California itself. There's so many others, but how about California? Is there any real possibility?
Is that to me? In my view, I think it's a possibility. Is it a probability? No, I don't think so. I think people might lose. I think there's going to be an attempted recall, another recall on Gavin Newsom. I think that the mayor of Los Angeles lost all credibility based on her encounter with David Rubin from Sky News, in that just that incredible non-responsive, very tense 90 seconds. I guess that was at one of the airports on her return trip from Ghana. But to answer your question, have we seen anything so far, at any given time about when people are actually held to account? We haven't seen that. I really want to believe. I mean, please, I want to believe, but I don't know. Rob, unless you have something different, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any justice in this life for these people. And what that mayor did when she was at the airport was just reprehensible and a slap in the face to the people of her city that she supposedly represents. To me, if you're flying home from Ghana and you know that your city is in ruins, people are losing everything, you would have a little bit of time to put together some type of a statement for the reporters that you know are going to be at the airport when you land. You wouldn't just ignore them and stand there stone-faced.
Yeah. I mean, she could have tried as well. As she knew, when the day before she left for Ghana, she received and every day they received these threat reports, essentially because of the winds and the other factors. And she knew that this was a very distinct possibility that a fire of just great magnitude would happen. She left anyway. So she's got no defense for leaving. And by the way, when she was elected, she had promised never to leave the country when there was business to be taken care of in Los Angeles. So, and given her Marxist roots, I mean, it's just the only difference I see with Los Angeles, and this is the only difference, sadly, money talks. And I think that you've got a really this subset of celebrities, people with money, old money, some, you know, Hollywood money, sick of what is taking place, sick enough to make a big thing over it. So maybe there's something there, maybe not. But frankly, in the world of real, true justice, I don't see it taking place.
I did see an interview with actor Dennis Quaid that was a little bit heartwarming. He was evacuating from his home, and he basically said, it's a spiritual battle that we're in, and he advised people to trust in God, have faith, and to pray. So I didn't know he was a Christian before that. That was one thing from one actor in Hollywood that is maybe somewhat positive. Michael, come on into the program.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rob, and thanks for coming on board, Doug, and speaking with us. I really appreciate it. My question is we haven't touched on this yet, but like 5-6 years ago, we saw everybody in China getting sick, and now they're sick again. And it kind of seems like, you know, this is the same card that's being played, and you know, are lockdowns going to happen? Do you think hard lockdowns will happen in the United States, you know, within the next month or couple months or 6 months? Do you see that happening at all?
That kind of leads into, let me just jump in here, Doug, and that sure. leads into the last of my notes, and then we can maybe move on to something else. But so the so-called elites are now pushing the bird flu, as we all know, as the new pandemic. 8 states have restarted their mask mandates in hospitals. And the co-founder and CEO of BioNTech has refused to take his own COVID vaccine, stating, "We need to ensure functionality of our whole company." So in other words, he didn't want to contract the same deadly side effects of those who do take his jabs. And more people are now being encouraged to continue getting COVID booster jabs, even as the masks are starting to return. There, I said my piece. Doug?
I think it would be a hard sell to the American public, but you know, when you have you know, almost 50% of the country who reportedly cast their ballots for a obviously cognitively impaired and absolutely corrupted person, whether it be Biden or Harris, I mean, take your pick, kind of one and the same. I lose a lot of faith, but then the fact that many others are digging in and saying, "No, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to wear a mask because they don't work." I think we're going to see, greater civil disobedience, and so if I think that through, you know, what's that going to look like, especially if the so-called people in the administrative positions push back. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I just don't see a similar situation playing out like we saw with COVID. I think it's going to be a much bigger fight, especially by the people digging their heels in on the side of righteousness and freedom and not of oppressiveness that we've seen.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. There are plenty of sheep out there willing to go along, though, unfortunately.
Indeed.
Anyone else before we move along? And in the meantime, Spencer, if you would, maybe you can pull up some memes for us. We have about 15 minutes or so.
I love your memes, Rob.
Well, these are going to be somewhat lighthearted, but there are also some are poignant and some are humorous, and they'll all make us think. So let's take a look. If you just open that first one, I kind of categorized them a little bit. So there you go. There you have the Nazis. It's not murder. Jews aren't actually people. And then you have Planned Parenthood saying, "It's not murder, babies aren't actually people."
How true that is in terms of the point made.
If you kill a preborn turtle, it's a $100,000 fine and a year in prison. If you kill a preborn eagle, $250,000 fine and 2 years in prison. If you kill a preborn human, zero penalties and applause from liberals.
Incredible.
What a world. Let's move on to the next category, which is climate change. Good news about climate change. It's a normal thing. Nothing needs to be done. There, we can end the show.
Mic drop moment there.
Okay. Can you blow that one up for us? If you think factories are destroying the planet and this is saving it, you might be a moron. Those are the lithium mines.
How true.
97% of climate scientists agree that they don't want to be defunded. There you go, 90%. That's a majority, I'd say. Okay, no fossils in fossil fuels. Every time you hear the term fossil fuel being used by experts, you're being lied to. In 1892, at the Geneva Convention, J.D. Rockefeller paid scientists to call oil fossil fuel to induce the idea of scarcity. The truth is, oil is the second most prevalent liquid on Earth next to water and regenerates within the Earth faster than it could ever be depleted.
I'm so glad you have that meme, because that's one thing that bothers me about people who talk about, very well-meaning people, conservatives talking about fossil fuels. They're not, and I thank you for that especially. People need to really learn that.
Yeah, it's something we just go with what we're told.
Right.
So. All right, this is dated June 29, 1989, from the UN. Entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. Better get on that. Mm. And here we have the leftists saying we care about the environment.
Yeah.
Moving along. There we have two opposite views, what the left promises and what they deliver. You can jump in here, Doug, whenever you want.
Okay, all right.
And, of course, you are the carbon they want to reduce.
Well, and that's perfect as well, because we've seen the TED Talks from Bill Gates and the other discussions, Klaus Schwab. You cannot reduce carbon to the levels they want without killing everything and everybody on the planet. And people need to understand that. And we're talking, I think it's 0.4% of the atmosphere is carbon. So, but it's necessary to keep the environmental ecosystem going like this. So, yeah, exactly. So,
God designed it to work perfectly. And yeah, if we just quit messing around with the weather and all the other stuff, everything would be fine.
Yes.
We don't need to do anything except stop messing with it. So here we have Bert and Ernie. Why isn't China concerned about climate change? Because they already have a communist government.
Okay. And by the way, I was surprised to learn, Rob, that in Canada, they've got a very oppressive carbon tax on just about everything you would purchase or consume. And they want to do that here, the left does. So it's for the Canadian viewers out there, my goodness, we feel your pain. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so now we're into the economics file here. Typical American household must spend an additional $11,434 annually just to maintain the same standard of living it had in January of 2021.
And it's only going to get worse. $1 trillion in interest service on our debt, interest payments every 100 days now. Think about that: $1 trillion every 100 days. That's what our budget is growing by. It's a sad. It's criminal, is what it is.
Yep. mortgage rates 2017 to 23. 17, it was 4.9%. January of 21, it was 2.7%. And then it went from 2.7% up to 7.12%. So, yeah, mortgage rates are at an all-time high, I believe, right now. Biggest scam in life, paying taxes on money you make, taxes on money you spend, and taxes on things you own that you already paid taxes with on already taxed money. Mm. 1775, we had 2% tax and a Revolutionary War. 2024, we have 40% tax, and people are looking at their screens. I'll just let you guys kind of browse through this one. This is since Kamala took office, Kamala and Joe, supposedly. Groceries up 22%, electricity 31%, rent 23%, car insurance 57%, and I can vouch for that. I just had to re-shop my car insurance because it was insane. Gasoline is up 38%, eggs 69%, and airfare 25%. It's pretty close to being right on there. Here we have a poll taker. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And the lady coming out of the grocery store says, yes. Now when I spend $100 on groceries, I only have to carry two bags to my car. I actually did it in one. So I'm ahead of the curve. All right, let's go to education. Oh, boy. There's Jimmy. 1979, I created the Department of Education. Since then, America went from first to 24th in education. I actually believe we are lower than 24th. I'd have to probably do some research. And here we have your teacher, your local public school teacher. Oklahoma ordered me to teach the Bible, but I refused to indoctrinate your daughter, Pat. And the parent said, Pat is our son.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me of the old Saturday Night Live.
Just Pat.
Yeah, Pat.
If you can afford Taylor Swift tickets, you can afford to pay off your own student loans.
That's a good point. And, you know, Rob, how does that work? And this is a genuine question. You've got a Supreme Court that says the executive branch does not have the authority to forgive student loan indebtedness, and yet he's doing it anyway. And I know a couple of people who have had their student loans paid off. My question is, what's the recourse on this once Trump comes back in office? I mean, how can they put that genie back in the bottle? I'm just curious.
You know what I think we need, Doug, is a great reset. Not in the way they're planning, but in a good way.
Yeah, that's true.
So, are there any more in that file? Okay, higher education. They're going in to be get a degree in chemistry, study business, be a doctor, rocket science, and one says I'll be studying law. And they come out of higher education, and you can see how they feel about things now. And that's very true. I would not send a kid to a college for anything these days.
Yeah,
you get here that. We have a little girl with her mommy. Mommy, why am I homeschooled? Because I like you as a girl, dear. I hate to laugh because it's not funny, but it is. You know, it's like I said, you can't make this stuff up. Let's go to, this is me when I hear news about celebrities, 0% interest.
That's right.
Okay. Fun fact, Roy Orbison recorded the song Pretty Woman on August 1st, 1964. Roy was not a biologist.
Yeah.
What offends you now? I don't know, they haven't told me yet. this was one of my favorites. Let's make this one larger for the people. Here we have the goons. We're coming, rural America. Be scared. And grandma's standing on the porch saying, well, hurry up, I got a pie in the oven.
You know, I love that too. And I think people are getting, I think we've had enough, especially the older we get. Look, we're not going to put up with this invasion and all of this. I don't mean to dominate, but I mean, memes, the memes you showed, I believe, are a reflection of people's sentiments. Hey, we're done with this. You know, we're sick and tired of really being sick and tired, and we're fighting back. Today it's memes, which, interestingly enough, the UK, they want to do away with memes. We have Douglas Mackey being jailed for a meme during the 2016 election. They're very effective, and I think that people are sick and tired of what's taking place, and I think it's a reflection of what is yet to come. Go ahead, sir.
Yep. Okay, so we have a little girl saying with a sign, remember, Mother's Day is for moms, not men in dresses. Your day is April 1st. I like this one just for fun. A guy in a restaurant, how do you prepare the chicken? He asked the waitress. And she says, we just tell them straight out they're going to die. You want to read this one, Doug? This is Archie and Meathead, who actually turned out to actually be a meathead in real life.
Okay, there we go. Oops, a little bit bigger if we can. Okay, so liberal versus conservative. Meathead lives rent-free. Obviously, Archie Bunker pays the rent. Liberals eat for free. Archie Bunker buys the food. Liberal sleeps in Archie's bed. And of course, Archie Bunker pays all the bills. And then we have sleeps with Archie's daughter and considers himself morally superior to Archie. So, you know, when you look at this, I mean, how, by the way, that show would never fly today, given the constraints of the, given the constraints of my goodness, how feelings are so hurt so easily. But a lot of truth back then on both sides, showing both bigotry as well as some hard facts. Very interesting indeed. But that was a good meme as well.
Let me just scan through what you got there in the file, if I can just look at it quick. Oh, well, okay, let's do this one too. And we have Klaus Schwab. How would you even spot a real supervillain? It's not like they'll dress up in a costume and have a German accent like in the movies. I mean, people, come on. I had to share this with you. Here you are when you're driving through small towns in Texas or Wisconsin. Speed limit goes from 70 to 20 with a trooper car sitting there, and then 55 and then 35. So, well, Dad, how do you know if
coming up to your it? I'm okay. Sorry, coming up to Wisconsin for your conference. How true that is, by the way. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, yeah, they got me. I got popped. On one side of the bridge, it's 35 miles an hour. And on the other side of the bridge, which is only, I don't know, 50 feet long, it's 25 miles an hour. Well, they got me and they pulled me over, gave me a ticket. Guess how fast I was going? No. I was going 32. And they gave me a ticket.
Wow.
Of course, it was close to the end of the month. I'm sure they had to get their money in. So, all right, let's look at this. This probably maybe one of our last ones. It's Thanksgiving dinner. Dad, how do you know if someone's a vegan? Dad says, don't worry, they'll tell you, son. I can also vouch for that. We have one of those in our family. Okay, we ought to do Kamala. When you're the first female vice president of the United States, but your party doesn't recognize genders. Oh, man. Sad. Any comments from the audience before we close it out here tonight? I know you want to see more memes, don't you? Okay, everybody's quiet. Maybe I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. Didn't mean it. Okay, so tune in. Doug is now live every night at HagmanPI.com. So tune in to the Hagman Report. Buy some Hagman coffee. My wife loves the Hagman coffee. So, and that actually, tell us about that, Doug. That actually goes to support some good work, doesn't it?
Yes. We actually, we really don't make, we don't make money on the coffee. We do make sure, we attempt to fund groups such as Shatter Ops, Russ's former group, ShatterOps.org, as well as Vets for Child Rescue, who are actually have boots on the ground. So any purchase of our coffee, it's no frills, no fancy packaging, none of that. We use all the money to support the people who are doing the actual groundwork to save children.
There you go. So you can find everything at HagmanPI.com. He's live at 9 Eastern time, so he's going to be going on the air here shortly, I think. So
yes.
You'll get a bathroom break and maybe a cookie. Yeah. Thanks for being here, Doug. I appreciate it.
More God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you.
I will be back with you next week, and Pastor Butch Paw from West Virginia from Call to Decision Ministries will be my guest. Yeah, like Doug, he is one of our viewers' favorites. So be sure to tell your friends, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Bye.